We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome in to Candlestick Chronicles, a 49ers podcast on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I am Kyle Madsen. I write about the 49ers over at NinersWire.com, part of the USA Today Sports Media Group. As always, alongside me, Chris Biederman, who decided to be in this state for once. That's really nice of you to pull up and hang out on the best coast.
You know what my preference would be, but you know, sometimes work calls and you got to go on some trips and and do some things. So that happened last week, but we're back in the saddle, baby. It's good to be back in the captain's chair.
Yeah, no, it's good to have you back. This road trip for you, better than most though. Because you got to see the homie Craig.
I did.
Of Lamb Chops.
Of Lamb Chops. Shout out to Craig, man. I got to hang out with him. He made some time for me on the week of his wedding, actually.
Unreal. So
Craig got married.
Congratulations to Craig, by the way.
Congratulations to Craig. We went to, showed me an outstanding restaurant, a certain NBA player of a particular stature, ate a few tables down from us, so you know it had to be. It had to be decent. And yeah, man, it was just great to see him. And good to talk shop, good to talk life. And he's a married man now.
That's awesome.
So congrats to Craig.
Congrats to Craig. And congrats to us for being sponsored by Lamb Chops. You can get yours at sglambchops.com. If you're watching on the stream, you'll see that Chris is in a sick ass black on black Lamb Chops hoodie with the script word mark across the front. I like it so much. I'm so jealous. I wish I had one on right now.
This was one of those pre-order ones you can get on their website, sglambchops.com. Throw in the promo code candlestick20, get a little bit of a discount,
20% off.
Yeah, I liked my ash gray Lamb Chops hoodie so much, and I've worn it so much that I was like, I need to double up and get a black one. And man, this thing is fire. It's just as comfortable. Obviously, it looks good, and we love it, man.
Yep.
And it was cool. Being in Minnesota, I mean, that's where the company originated. Being in Minnesota, right. Obviously, Lamb Chops has the partnership with the Minnesota Timberwolves. Saw a bunch of people in Lamb Chops gear at the Kings Wolves game, so that was pretty cool. We gotta make that migration.
Fans of the pod.
Over. Yeah, we gotta make that happen. make that migration happen over in Warriors games, Kings games.
Yeah.
You know, if you happen to be a Southern California 49ers fans, Lakers games, Clippers games, get your Lamb Chop stuff.
Yeah. sglambchops.com, promo code candlestick20, get 20% off your order. Hoodies, sweatpants, shorts, t-shirts, whatever you want, they got it for you. It's going to be comfortable, it's going to be stylish. It's going to be high quality, and you're going to look dope, which is the most important thing. Everybody knows it. sglambchops.com. Follow them on Instagram at @sglambchops and join the herd. All right. Let's jump into the 49ers made some coaching hires, and we're going to talk about it. Here we go.
Blue Wire. Hey, this is George Kittle, and you're listening to Candlestick Chronicles.
Kittle in Denver territory. Kittle is going to go. Touchdown.
Close has got him, and a sack him back inside the 30.
Hey, before we get to the 49ers coaching stuff that we're going to talk about, Xavier Worthy, the wide receiver from Texas, broke the combine record with a 4.21 40-yard dash. Where does this move him on your big board, Chris?
I think if you're the Chicago Bears, you really got to consider, you really got to consider jumping him above Caleb Williams.
And couldn't agree
maybe,
more.
Maybe making him your franchise quarterback.
Yeah, have him take the snap. You get the ball in his hands every play. He's going to be the fastest guy on the field.
Yeah, if no one can tackle him, then what else could you possibly want?
No, it makes sense. He's the fastest man in NFL history, ergo cannot be caught on the football field, and is the best player in the draft. He should go one overall. I'm right there with you.
Yeah, glad we sorted that out. or
if he had ran a 4.23, I've got a sixth round grade on him.
But it also begs an interesting question.
Like, please.
If he is so fast and unquestionably going to be the best player in the NFL because he ran the fastest 40 that we've ever seen.
Right.
Do you trade the number one pick for 4, 5, 6 first round picks?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you just make him your quarterback and give him the ball every play?
Yeah, I think it's the latter. I'm not trading those picks for anything. There's no value that you're going to get back. Because is any one of those, let's say it's 6 first-round picks. Let's go with your scenario. Are any one of those 6 first-round picks going to run a 4.21? No chance.
Unlikely.
That may be the fastest we ever see. At some point, we're going to reach the limit of human movement, and we might have seen it with Xavier Worthy. Congratulations.
Whatever terminal velocity is, but having it be horizontal instead of vertical.
All right, the 49ers made a couple of coaching hires. They have hired a defensive coordinator. They went with an internal candidate, Nick Sorensen, who has been with the team for the last couple of seasons. He was a defensive assistant in 2022 and then became the defensive pass game specialist and nickels coach in 2023. And now in 2024, he will be the defensive coordinator. They also hired Brandon Staley as an assistant head coach. Let's put a pin in the Staley thing momentarily. What are your thoughts on the Nick Sorensen hire? Because to me, it felt like it was trending that direction when you just started kind of piecing everything together of what they wanted in a coach.
Yeah, I think, like, first of all, I think Kyle Shanahan overall has done a really good job with hiring assistants. And I think you can make the case both sides of the ball. He's done a really good job in finding guys that tend to get promoted either with the 49ers or elsewhere, right? And that's ultimately what you want as as a head coach who's hiring assistants, is to have guys who do well enough that they're seen as upgrades for, you know, more prominent positions, promotions with other teams, right? And you saw obviously Robert Saleh got a head coaching job with the Jets, and D'Amico Ryan's got a head coaching job with the Texans. And you've seen various offensive assistants take coordinator jobs and Mike McDaniel go become a successful head coach with Miami. That's the best case scenario for, you know, if you're assembling a coaching staff, if over time your assistants are getting picked off, that means you're doing a good job assembling your staffs. So I think Shanahan has some equity in terms of the way we should view his ability to identify assistants. I think what's interesting about Sorensen and the Staley thing, I think we can touch on that together. So you remember when Kyle Shanahan first got the Niners job in 2017, the first guy he wanted was Vic Fangio. Vic Fangio obviously was coordinator with the Chicago Bears and wasn't able to get out of that contract, eventually became the head coach of the Broncos. But that was Shanahan's first choice, or one of his first choices, we should say. We don't know exactly if that was the top guy, but that was one of them, right? What did he end up running? He ended up running the Seattle Seahawks type of defense with Robert Saleh, right? So Nick Sorensen is a longtime Seahawks staffer. He worked for Pete Carroll with the Seahawks from 2013 to 2020, mostly as a defensive backs and secondaries coach. Worked with Nichols, which is the same position he had with the 49ers. And then Brandon Staley, obviously, is one of Vic Fangio's top lieutenants. So in terms of the two schemes we most associate Kyle Shanahan in wanting to run, that's what the 49ers have here in Sorensen, who comes from the Pete Carroll tree, and in Brandon Staley, who comes from the Vic Fangio tree. As far as Sorensen goes, I do think one of the reasons why it took so long is, and this has been reported elsewhere and talked about elsewhere, namely by Tim Kawakami, friend of the show, that, you know, Jeff Ulbrich was under serious consideration. And Ulbrich, of course, made a lot of sense, but he would have had to been let out of his contract with the Jets mm-hmm. in order to take the job. And the Jets obviously didn't seem to let him out of that contract. So the 49ers had to hire Sorensen internally. So you can make an argument that, you know, this was not their first choice. And mm-hmm. if that's true, then, you know, maybe the fact that, I mean, maybe that's something that worries you about the decision. On mm-hmm. the other hand, in getting Staley, and I'm very interested to know what the hierarchy is, right? Because Brandon Staley, being a former defensive coordinator, being a former head coach, could have a lot of sway in the building, but you would think mm-hmm. that Sorensen, being the defensive coordinator by title, would be the guy who could supersede anything that Brandon Staley wanted to do. Mm-hmm. So I'm, you know, without knowing exactly what, like, the pay structure, what the hierarchy is specifically, I would imagine Sorensen's going to be the guy and Staley is sort of the one to prop him up and potentially throw new ideas and maybe, you know, mix in what he knows right. from Fangio's scheme with what Sorensen's more familiar with the Seahawks style scheme that the 49ers have run. I think ultimately, you know, Brandon Staley, I mean, I'll stick with Sorensen for a second.
Mm-hmm.
The 49ers know exactly what Sorensen is, right? Kyle Shanahan has cameras set up in all of the team meeting rooms and watches those meetings, right? So he mm-hmm. knows, he's familiar with everything Sorensen has said to his position groups or everything he's ever said in the team meeting. If he wants to, he can go watch that footage if he's not sitting in on the meeting or whatever.
Sure.
So he knows. And I have a really hard time thinking that Kyle Shanahan would make this hire without running it by Fred Warner, Nick Bosa, Charvarius Ward, Teamador Lenore, right? Like, I think one of the issues the 49ers ultimately had with Steve Wilks is the Niners' best players didn't really react that well to him.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was something to that, particularly in the multiple games that we saw, that the 49ers defense just didn't play with a whole lot of energy. And frankly, I didn't think they played with a whole lot of buy-in,
mm-hmm.
and which was notable, particularly in the NFC Championship game, right? Like, you really need, for how hard the 49ers played, and we've talked about this before, mm-hmm. but for how hard they played under Robert Saleh and DeMeco Ryans, it was pretty stark to watch them kind of loaf around in big moments with Steve Wilks as their coordinator. And I don't know that that's necessarily all on Wilks. Obviously, the players have to take responsibility for that. But it seemed like there was an issue with buy-in, which is a huge red flag. So I think there's a very good chance that the Niners' big-name players on defense gave their stamp of approval with Sorensen.
Mm-hmm.
And we can talk about Staley, but I do like the idea of having guys with multiple backgrounds in terms of scheme running the same defense there.
Yeah, I think Sorensen was kind of the logical choice from the jump just because of all the boxes he checked. He's a Pete Carroll guy. He's been with the 49ers the last couple of years. He knows what the expectation is of the defense. I'm sure he's very acutely aware of the, I don't even know what to call them, with Steve Wilks, missteps? The misalignments between Steve Wilks and Kyle Shanahan?
Yeah.
Is that, I mean, and the fact that he got promoted after 1 year with the team, he was a defensive assistant and then got promoted to defensive pass game specialist and Nichols coach. I think that speaks to him as a coach and what the 49ers coaching staff, specifically Kyle Shanahan, thinks about him. So I think that Sorensen specifically felt like the right hire to get the 49ers defense back to where it wanted to go. Now, granted, that's all on paper. We have to see what he looks like once the chips are down, once you actually have to game plan and you have to make adjustments in games. And those are things that, I mean, he convinced Kyle Shanahan he can do in his interview. So I guess we'll see on that. The Staley aspect of this is where it gets fascinating, though, because part of me thinks, you mentioned this a little bit ago, that it is another voice, I don't want to say a dissenting voice, but a person who views and sees the game a little bit differently. And Brandon Staley, say what you want about him as a head coach, I think he is a smart football person. I think whether he'll ever be a good head coach, TBD. But I think having a different set of eyeballs is probably a good thing, specifically for a defensive-minded coach. But on the other hand, I can't help but feel a little bit like this is a internal fallback option in the event that Sorensen doesn't know what he's doing.
Sure. Yeah, like, that's certainly possible. Yeah, and I like Kyle Shanahan will answer these questions eventually. We're recording this Sunday night.
His feet will be held to the fire.
He's going to be held accountable for sure. But I'm very curious to know what the power dynamic is. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, does you have a young guy who's a first-time coordinator who would seemingly be the top guy when it came to the defense by definition as defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. But you have a guy with more experience who's been a head coach who is associate head coach. And, you know, like, who's getting paid more, right? Like, who, I don't know that necessarily matters in terms of, like, you know, is Sorensen going to feel undermined by the fact that Brandon Staley is making more money. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, that stuff matters. That, like, I do think totally. There's an element of, like, you know, who's boss here? Like, who's the boss of the defense? Because that's probably the biggest question I would have. And in terms of Staley himself, like, the issues that Brandon Staley had as a coach, I think, aren't really going to be problematic in terms of what his role is with the 49ers. I don't think it was ever really a schematic thing with him, right? Like, he's not going to be making fourth down decisions for Kyle Shanahan.
Dude, I'm just imagining him on game days just screaming in Kyle Shanahan's ear, go for it!
Right. I think what ultimately my guess would be that Staley's going to be in the booth, Sorensen's going to be on the sideline, and there's just going to be an open line of communication, and Staley's going to help Sorensen game plan. And one thing I always heard about Vic Fangio, and I would imagine this to be true about his, you know, one of his top assistants that he's had, is just the overall level of preparation and the ability to recognize what offenses were doing and know their tendencies to, like, very, very fine detail. Right. Like, you talk to 49ers players during that era when Vic Fangio was there, and one thing they would always say about Vic was he was kind of like Richard Sherman in the sense that, like, he knew what every single split led to. He knew what, you know, down and distance tendencies and all of those things. Like, the reason, one of the main reasons why the 49ers defense was so good during that time is because they knew, they just had such, they were always so prepared for their opponent. That it gave them a huge leg up on top of being super talented, on top of, you know, being able to get after the quarterback with four players and drop seven into coverage. Mm-hmm. Like, that was really the thing with Vic Fangio. When you talk to his players, like, the players felt like they always felt like they were super prepared for their opponent.
Right.
And if Staley is going to be a Vic Fangio guy, then there's probably an element of that too. And in the one chance we've seen Brandon Staley just be a defensive coordinator, not a head coach, it went pretty damn well at the Rams because they ranked first in opponent scoring and first in opponent's yardage.
Yeah. Right,
in 2020 when he was a DC there before he got the head coaching job with the Chargers. And obviously everybody, you know, praised Staley. Everyone thought Staley was the best defensive coordinator in the league in 2020.
Right. He got a head coaching job off it.
Yeah, and he became sort of this punching bag because of, you know, some head coaching things that happened, but those aren't going to be issues. Like, he's not going to be giving press conferences.
No,
he's not going to be talking to the media. Like, he's just going to be, I think, ostensibly a defensive consultant. And maybe if Kyle Shanahan happened to get kicked out of a game, he might be head coach in that scenario, but I don't think that's ever going to happen. But, like, that's kind of, you know, that's what an associate head coach does. And the 49ers lost Anthony Lynn, their previous associate head coach with head coaching experience, to Washington, where he followed Adam
Peters.
Here's
the one holdup for me with Brandon Staley. And you mentioned his time as a defensive coordinator. First in yards allowed, first in points allowed. Their run defense was awesome. Their pass defense was awesome. And that Rams team was really good. That Rams team in 2020 was also loaded. And you go to the Chargers over the last 3 years, that Chargers team also loaded. Like Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa and Derwin James. I mean, they signed J.C. Jackson. I know he got hurt, but they had a defense that should have been capable of producing, and it just never did. And that's where I wonder with Brandon Staley, was being a head coach just so overwhelming for him that he couldn't get done what he needed to do defensively? Because the Chargers, under Brandon Staley, yards allowed 23rd, 20th, 28th, points allowed 29th, 21st, 24th. They were really bad defensively. All of his years as the head coach. And that's my one question with having him in the building is he that good of a defensive mind? Or did he benefit from just an awesome Rams defense and, frankly, a really good Rams offense that kind of put teams into binds because of how good McVay is? I don't know. I'm a little bit skeptical of Brandon Staley.
That's fair. It's certainly fair.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Yo, it's your homies Kyle and Chris for Lamb Chops. SGLambChops.com is the website. They are the official clothing brand of Candlestick Chronicles. And follow them on Instagram at SGLambChops because they have some really cool looking stuff that your bland ass boy over here is not very good at styling on his own. And so I pop over to the Instagram. I see how other people are dressing themselves in maybe it's the wolf shorts or the lion shorts, or maybe it's a pair of joggers, or maybe it's the ash gray hoodie that you and I love so much. And I base my outfits off of that, and it always makes me look dope, which is the single most important thing.
And it's also comfortable. It's also high quality. Yeah. It's super stylish. They're conversation starters, honestly. They also have kids sizes on here too.
Yes.
That is, and everything's correct. Unisex. We should point out also. So, yeah. No matter if you're a man or woman, these clothes will look great on you.
Or a child. They have children's sizes and a lot of their stuff as well. Use promo code Candlestick20 today to get 20% off your order, or you can do it tomorrow or whenever. Candlestick20 is a promo code any day of the week to get 20% off your order from SGLambChops.com. Shout out to them. We really appreciate their support, and we would appreciate it if you support them by going to SGLambChops.com and ordering some dope, comfortable, high-quality clothing. Join the herd today.
Yeah, it's a mixed bag, right? It's okay. He was defensive coordinator for a really good team, really good defense that was loaded. He has a solid background with a coach that you typically like in Vic Fangio. But then, yeah, when he was a head coach, it was a disaster. So, you know, which will matter more in terms of the coach he is now that he's a, you know, an associate head coach with the Niners? That'll be one of the big questions. And what's the power structure? Is it going to work?
Yeah.
Right. Again, who's the boss? Who's the boss of the defense? The associate head coach with more experience and a bigger resume and a bigger name? Or is it the first-time defensive coordinator who's calling the plays for the first time?
So I also wonder if Brandon Staley got interviewed to be a defensive coordinator or if he got interviewed to be the assistant head coach. That's because it didn't really ever make sense, right? You had Kyle Shanahan like, hey, we know what we want to do defensively, and we want to bring in somebody who does that. And then you have John Lynch going, we don't want to move too far off of who we are defensively. And you have Brandon Staley, who is something very different defensively. So I kind of wonder if he was interviewed for the assistant head coach job or if Shanahan brought him in as a legit DC candidate or if he brought him in just to kind of pick his brain and see what he had to say and what he thought philosophically of the 49ers defense and was blown away and went, wow, this guy can really help us. We'll just make him the assistant head coach. That's the other kind of question I have here, because I really think that I think he got interviewed to be the assistant head coach. I don't think there was ever a world where Brandon Staley was going to be the Niners defensive coordinator.
Is it possible that Kyle Shanahan wanted one guy, John Lynch wanted the other guy, and Jed York said, screw it, we're hiring them both?
No.
I don't think that's possible.
I mean, it's let me back up. It's definitely possible. I don't think that's what happened, though.
Yeah. It's probably an unlikely scenario. I do think it's worth pointing out, though, that, I mean, the 49ers have to have, in terms of money they're paying to their defensive staff, It's got to be the most in the league. Because, you know, when you fire a coach like Steve Wilks, you're still paying out the rest of his contract.
Right.
And then you're paying Nick Sorensen and you're paying Brandon Staley. So maybe, I mean, I don't know what Anthony Lynn was making. I don't know what any of these guys are making. But for an owner who, and I know the 49ers have made a ton of money the last few years, but for an owner who had been accused of being cheap, Jed York has certainly been anything but the last few years, particularly when it comes to paying for coaches. Yeah. And frankly, like, I don't think every owner in the league would sign up for something like this. You're like, wait,
dude, no chance.
We have a defensive coordinator. Why would I pay Brandon Staley $3 million a year? Like, why would I do that?
Dude, there are so many owners in the league who wouldn't do that.
Yeah. So, you know, it like this type of dynamic speaks to a couple things. It speaks to Jed York's willingness to spend, and it speaks to his belief or trust in Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch.
Mm-hmm.
Because it does seem like kind of a tricky dynamic. It's not super cut and dry, and maybe it'll feel more cut and dry once Kyle Shanahan speaks on it in the press conferences and his feet are really held to the fire.
Yeah.
But I do think there's an interesting dynamic here when it comes to ownership that might be worth exploring down the road, because, you know, Jed might be paying like $10 million to Steve Wilks, Brandon Staley, and Nick Sorensen combined, which might be dramatically more than any other owner would ever be willing to spend on a few defensive coaches.
Sure. Yeah, I'm fascinated to hear from Shanahan on this and exactly what Staley's role is going to be, because remember, excuse me, Anthony Lynn had the assistant head coach role last year.
Yeah.
And is Brandon Staley just going to step in and just take over whatever duties that assistant head coach did? And then Nick Sorensen needs something, or if Shanahan sees something wrong with the defense and wants Staley to look at it, is that where he steps in? I'm with you. That's a really interesting dynamic, and it's hard not to envision sitting here next February or next January and going, okay, so the 49ers have let go of Brandon Staley because of this issue with Nick Sorensen, and their defense really struggled because of the clash of the coaches and the different philosophies, and they could never get on the same page. I could 100% see that being a problem.
I could also see it being a hedge, just like,
oh boy, there's like that word again.
Like, yeah, like, I mean, we could. Kyle Shanahan likes a hedge, I guess. right? Like this might be, we don't know if Sorensen's good.
Mm-hmm.
So we have his ready replacement just in case things go haywire.
Which Staley, is like, Staley is Jimmy Garoppolo and Nick Sorensen is Trey Lance.
Yeah. Staley's throwing, it's training camp. They're the bleachers and Staley's throwing some passes, whipping the ball around.
Behind
the fans, letting fans take cell phone videos, fire them off on Twitter. And Sorensen is Trey Lance struggling in training camp.
And Cameron Brown is Brock Purdy.
Sure.
Mike Brown's kid, by the way.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Shouts to Mike.
Love Mike Brown. Big Mike Brown.
I don't know
guy.
If he listens to the pod, but.
I think he does.
Think so?
I think he does.
I'll ask him.
I think Sorensen was a right hire. I think that's just as we sit here today on March 3rd, and I mean, I may sound like an idiot come October, but you look at the background with Pete Carroll and spending 8 years in Seattle, and how many on the defensive side? I think five on the defensive side with Seattle, 16 through 20. Yeah, so 5 seasons on the defensive side. He played in the league as a safety. I just
10 years.
Yeah, he played a long time. And so I think that is where, as a coach, you can have a huge advantage of knowing what players respond to, what players don't respond to. This just, of all the, I think Daniel Bullocks would have been a fine hire as well, the 49ers safeties coach. But when the search kind of started to go on and you see Dave Merritt and, oh my gosh, I am blanking on the name of the Raiders Steve safeties Spagnuolo. Coach. Oh, well, Steve Spagnuolo as well, but Gerald Alexander.
Oh, yeah.
Is the name I was looking for. So they also interviewed him, and it felt like, okay, Sorensen is kind of the right guy here. And I know that he's a little bit inexperienced, but so was D'Amico Ryans, so was Robert Saleh. I think this was the move that they might have been wanting to make the entire time. They just wanted to cover all their bases and make sure that they weren't leaving anything out, leaving stones unturned, etc. And then landing on Sorensen, which is kind of where it felt like it was going the entire time.
Well, so now that we mentioned Dave Merritt and Steve Spagnuolo, I do think we should mention Diana Rossini's reporting. Mm-hmm. For The Athletic, saying that the Niners made a pitch, or at least reached out to Steve Spagnuolo to express mm-hmm. their interest in making him their defensive coordinator, which led to, or I don't know if it led to, but he wound up signing an extension to stay with the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty fascinating thing. Kyle Shanahan looking at getting beat by Steve Spagnuolo in 2 Super Bowls and then being like, hey man, we got an opening. Huh? What do you think?
If you can't beat him, sign him.
Yeah. But Shanahan, I mean, it's kind of funny because, I mean, Shanahan just keeps being a huge asset to Spagnuolo because Spagnuolo can beat him in 2 Super Bowls and then use Shanahan's offer to potentially leverage a new contract extension with the Chiefs. So,
I did think
Shanahan is done Spagnuolo a lot of favors, I think.
I did think it was pretty crazy. Just speaking of Steve Spagnuolo real quick, I did think it was kind of wild how complimentary he was of Brock Purdy after the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
In his press conference, he was talking about Monday Morning Quarterback with Albert Breer. He talked about how awesome Brock Purdy was. And then on a podcast, I think it was with Peter Schrager, he said that he seeked out Brock Purdy's number so he could call him and tell him how, or text him or whatever, and tell him how good of a game he played. That's wild. That feels like a rare thing.
I thought Purdy played, I mean, we've talked about this and we'll talk about it going forward, but I felt, despite them losing, I felt better about Brock Purdy coming out of that game than I did going in.
I'm with you. I'm right there with you.
I thought he was good. I thought he made plays. Just his demeanor, he never seemed rattled.
Yep.
He, you know, I had a pretty good amount of confidence in him, you know, that he would make plays in crucial moments. And I feel like he would have had not for Steve Spagnuolo and the him dialing up the perfect plays, and the Niners offensive line / Kyle Shanahan not really having any recourse to deal with what he was throwing at them. So, yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. I don't have anything else on the Super Bowl.
You don't want to relitigate?
I had Brock Purdy thoughts and quarterback thoughts, but let me condense them down to this, because it's March 3rd and we will have a whole offseason to talk about this. But I don't feel going forward that quarterback is a problem for the 49ers. And it has felt like that every year since they lost Super Bowl 54.
There's definitely a version of the Super Bowl where you come out of it being like, well, Brock Purdy's not the guy.
Yeah.
And now we got to have another offseason of trying to figure this quarterback thing out.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel like that. It feels like they have a guy that they're at least going to roll with for another couple years.
Yep.
And I think there's without being like super cliche hyperbole guy, there is just something about the demeanor, the it factor, the poise, like all of those things that was just really impressive from Purdy. Like he easily could have had happy feet, made some terrible throws. Like it didn't feel like he threw many interceptable passes. Like he played one of his best games of the season overall, I thought, which is pretty damn impressive given what he accomplished last year. Just given the spot.
Yeah.
And I know, you know.
Yeah. I had questions about how he would perform in big spots and in big games, and kind of answered that. So if you can play well in the Super Bowl, and if you can help bring a team back from 17, how many freaking points are they behind in the NFC title game? 17?
17, I think, yeah.
Good Lord. That game feels like it was 10 years ago. The big-ass comeback in the NFC Championship game. You remember.
I'm going to double-check just so we can be accurate. But, yeah, make your point.
Yeah, I think it was – I'm pretty sure. I really feel like it was 17 points. But if you can do those things, then you're all set. And maybe by 2026 when – Christian McCaffrey is over 30 and Debo Samuel's gone and George Kittle's gone and they've not replenished the roster with quite that level of talent. Maybe he struggles at that point, but I mean, given what he did in his first full season as a starter and in a run to overtime of the Super Bowl, you got to feel good about it.
It was 17 points.
17 points.
The Lions kicked a field goal just before halftime to go up 24-7.
That's right.
Thank you. I think the Super Bowl is one of those that Brock Purdy is going to become a lot better from.
I agree.
Like he's going to realize. You went from Steve Spagnuolo praising Brock Purdy.
Ah, that's it. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
So I think that's all. It's all positive, and it's, you know, like as good as quarterback drama is from a content perspective, I do not mind taking a season off from the quarterback stuff.
Oh my God. I'm so, we get to talk about backup quarterbacks. Who do you think? I think Nate Sudfeld, bring him back.
I mean, honestly, like, and health is obviously a thing, but they don't necessarily have to bring back Sam Darnold. Like they could, if it was Brock and Brandon Allen and an undrafted guy or a guy they took in, I mean, could they draft a quarterback this year?
Yes. I think you have to. I also think you need a better backup than Brandon Allen. The quarterback injury thing is still very real.
I don't hate Brandon Allen as a backup.
Hmm.
He's fine.
Hmm. I think it's worth mentioning.
There's no amazing backup quarterback. There's no quarterback we lost our quarterback, but we're still going to win a Super Bowl. That doesn't exist at any level. So I don't know that there's a huge difference between what Brandon Allen would give you and what someone else, bringing back Sam Darnold. I don't know.
I think,
although there are a lot of people who seem to believe Sam Darnold's still the goods, which I don't know.
While we're here, I think it's worth mentioning that the 49ers played the Chargers at Levi's Stadium in 2022. And the 49ers were coming off... What?
That was a Thursday night game, I believe, right?
Nope, Sunday night.
Oh.
God. No, the Chargers went up 13-3 in that one and held the 49ers to 22 points, and that was after Christian McCaffrey arrived with the 49ers coming off their bye. Brandon Staley was the head coach. That was my connection.
That was a game that Dre Greenlaw got kicked out for going head-to-head.
Correct.
Helmet-to-helmet with Justin Herbert.
Yes, I believe that's right.
I'm mostly fine with it. I don't know. I think one of the issues the 49ers had going back to the hirings was timing.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to play a Super Bowl and then fire your defensive coordinator and then try to hire somebody when after, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. all the other, a lot of other coaching staffs are already solidified.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. There's an element of it being a hedge. And if Sorensen doesn't work, they, you know, the Niners fire him and then promote Staley. Like, that definitely doesn't seem unreasonable.
Yeah.
So
we'll see. I don't think that what they want to do. I don't think it was like, hey, Brandon, come hang out until we fire this guy.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely.
I'm guessing, though, that was part of the justification to Jed.
Sure. But also, like we mentioned at the top, the Niners turn out head coaches or mm-hmm. get coaches promoted. Like, if you're yep. an assistant coach in the NFL and you're mm-hmm. trying to climb the ladder and mm-hmm. the 49ers call you, you are trying to get on that staff.
Yeah.
Because there's a very reasonable chance that you're going to be put in a position to get a better job mm-hmm. at some point.
Yeah. Anthony Lynn did that. He's now with the Commanders, and Brandon Staley is, it feels like, is ostensibly doing what Sam Darnold did last year. Like, just a season of image rehab by being on a good staff.
The Mitch Trubisky of coaches.
Yeah.
Just taking that backup job with
persona non grata
before getting that Pittsburgh Steelers contract.
Sit behind Josh Allen. Do nothing notable. Get paid. Like, Brandon Staley, if the 49ers win a bunch of games this year and make another deep run, Brandon Staley's 100% getting head coach interviews.
Yeah. Or DC interviews where he could call his own.
No, yeah, that too. All right, that's all I got for now.
Nick in the chat, can we talk about how everything is sold out on SG Lamb Chops? You want some merch someday? I cannot speak to the website not having stuff right now. I'm sure they are loading up for spring and going to have a bunch of cool drops coming out soon.
Yep.
I know I got this on a pre-order, the sweater that I'm wearing on a pre-order. Sources tell the Candlestick Chronicles podcast that merch is being considered.
Candle Crown merch?
Yes.
Oh. Excellent.
Produced potentially by our good friends at Lamb Chops. So they're...
I would hope so.
I just wanted to make that clear.
Okay.
And give us another opportunity to say Lamb Chops.
SGLambChops.com.
So, keep an eye out for that. We will plug that.
Yeah.
And there will be... We got a lot of legwork to do on that, but mm-hmm. it will be coming. And we're targeting the start of next football season, or maybe the summer beforehand. So we just got to get
watch
what
out
needs
for
to
it.
Happen is we need to like that. We got to start like a social media movement, like send us pictures of you and your Lamb Chops Candlestick Chronicles gear.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, that becomes like a thing, and maybe far parts of the world it gets shipped to, and
sure,
you know, road games and wherever the mm-hmm. Niners play in the East Coast next year.
Mm-hmm.
Preseason games. Maybe get some slogans on there.
Sure. Gotta see the structure.
Gotta see the structure. No stick, no wickles.
Beating the heat.
Beating the heat. Throwback. All right, let's get out of here.
Hey, real quick. Did I sound better on this podcast than normal?
better.
Yeah.
Are you a little under the weather?
No.
Okay. Yeah, you sound great.
I think it's my chair. I got a new chair. I'm so fired up about it. So I'd been for a while, I'd been rocking this just like cheap IKEA chair. Mm-hmm. I got it so long ago. And I bought it under the pretense of I was living in Sacramento. And it was like, oh, it's cheap. I'll be able to just take it apart and just toss it whenever we move so we don't have to worry about it. And lo and behold, 6 years later, I was still sitting in it. And my hips started to hurt really bad because it's not a chair that's like ergonomically designed or anything like that. And I found out about bettersource.com, which is a spot that has like really, really high-end quality office furniture for like not high-quality office furniture prices. So I got myself a new chair and it feels incredible. So check out abettersource.com, get yourself a new chair. My back feels better. My hips feel better. I can actually sit. I used to have to work like around the house because I couldn't find a comfortable spot. And now I can just sit at my desk and I can sit in this chair all day. And I hope that my podcast sounded better because of it.
I really apologize for asking if you were under the weather.
You're like, yeah, you sound like shit.
I mean, if you were to call me like, hey, I'm going through a little bit of a cold, I'd be like, okay, it kind of sounds like that.
Wow, that's no, it's like that's crazy.
I am thrilled for you and your chair.
Thanks, man.
That's great news.
Mention the podcast. Get 10% off Aeron chairs. Oh. Shout out to abettersource.com.
Abettersource.com. New sponsor.
Love my chair. Love my chair. Maybe.
Maybe. Okay.
TBD. We'll talk.
TBD. Okay.
All right, guys.
See you later.
Appreciate it. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. If you're watching live, subscribe right down there. Hit the little thumbs up button. We would appreciate the heck out of that. Make sure to hit that little notification bell so you get a notification every time we go live. And subscribe wherever you get your podcasts as well. If you're listening to this, give us 5 stars. Give us good ratings. Give us good reviews. We appreciate that a lot. All right. Talk to you guys next time.